first of all, a question for children, I suppose, for young people as well. Does anybody want to be older? Would anybody like to be older? There we are, Mikhail. Sir, is there one person who wants to be older? There we are, you want to be older as well? When I was younger, I always thought it would be amazing to be older because I could go to bed when I wanted to. I could eat whatever I wanted, and I would be able to drive a car as well. A question now for the older people. When you get older, does anybody want to be younger again? There we are, there's a few, there we are. I know, you sort of think, oh, to have my whole life ahead of me again. To have all the weight of the world taken off my shoulders, and to be young all over again. There's a very old story, maybe we can have our first picture. If you know the Marvel comics and Marvel films, you'll know the story of one superhero called Zeus, who punished another superhero called Atlas, making him like carry the sphere of the heavens on his shoulders. Do you want to try giving that? Give that a little try, children and young people. If you want to try drawing that or something like that, just to begin. That man, Atlas, could well be many of us, if we're really honest. We feel as if we have the weight of responsibilities, expectations, pressures, spinning lots of plates, all resting on our shoulders. The weight of the world on our shoulders. But we don't like take it just on our shoulders. What do? Well, we live within a world in which we also push people forwards and we raise them up to govern political leaders. Now, it doesn't mean to say that we always push them. Sometimes they might push themselves forward, but generally we push other people forward and we lift them up to govern us. Now, just over 200 years ago, something happened in France and in America that meant that people began to expect more and more and more from those people that they pushed forward and lifted up. And in order to cope with that, governments had to become bigger and bigger and bigger. Such that what was expected of them became harder and harder to really deliver. And when they don't, people become restless and angry. That we haven't lifted up the right people. We need to get somebody else up there. Or it's all the people that have pushed them forward. They're to blame. They don't understand things as well as I do. Today, the weight of pressure and expectations upon leaders' shoulders is heavier than anyone can really bear. There's a story a few years ago of something that happened in New York City. Something very terrible happened, and the city was in shock, and a local senator said this: how can so much go wrong in one person's life and nobody be aware of it? How can so much go wrong and nobody be aware of it? To which the local councillor gave this honest answer, and this is what he said: life is too busy and complicated for me to hear the cry of every person in my community. I struggle to find the time to hear the cries of my own family. If I had to listen to the cries of everyone in this city, you may as well ask me to listen to the sound of every blade of grass growing, to the heartbeat of every squirrel. The noise would be deafening on the other side of silence. See what he's saying? I can't do it with all the best will in the world. It can't be done. But something else happened 200 years ago as people demanded more from those that were lifted up, placing more and more burdens upon them, and that world got bigger. The world of God became much smaller, much, much smaller. Became the world of faith. In a corner. It doesn't make any difference in the real world at all. not to how the real world works. It's just what you do privately in the corner by yourself. Christmas. Of course, in a way, then sort of fits in with that, doesn't it? Because then you think, he's only a tiny little baby. There's plenty of space for this tiny little baby to come into this big world. And he can fit in nicely alongside Father Christmas, Waitrose, Sainsbury's, Jingle Bells. And yet makes no difference really to the actual world in which we all live. But if you think again, we think carefully, we read the story of Christmas, we'd never really get the impression that something smaller was coming into something bigger, would we? If we read it carefully, read that story. Let's have a look at our second picture. There we are. There's a nice picture maybe that we could look at, or perhaps we could try to draw. From the dawn of human history, for thousands of years, ancient prophets had foretold the coming of a great one. A great one. Civilizations from Babylon to Persia to Greece and China. Legends, whispers that one day a great one would come who would be born in a way that wasn't normally possible. Stars in the heavens would move and bow down at his coming. Angels would attend him. All the nations would gather towards him. And again, as great political leaders were born, people looked into their births to see if those signs and omens were being fulfilled. The great one before whom all the angels, men and women, all the animals, everyone would one day bow down. And then, just over 2,000 years ago, just as had been said from the very beginning, a tiny baby was born and laid in a manger in a stable in Bethlehem. As Isaiah had said, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders." Upon his shoulders. The dawn of a new day for the whole world. Do you know there's 273 babies born every minute, roughly, give or take, across the world, and yet none other before or since has ever had the effect of this one birth. I was just thinking, how many of us would even know the birthday of any scientist or any sports star or any athlete? Maybe one or two. But it would be a very sort of, a select fan club would know their birthday. It would never be enough to stop the whole world and bring all the nations together. All those ancient prophecies came true in one place and at one time. Stars moved in their constellations. Angels from the highest heavens sang with joy, heralding his birth. Wise, great men from across the world came and bowed down before him. Shepherds who were much nearer came as well and found their shepherd. The prophets had said that even the ox and the donkey would know their master's manger. As if in some deep way, even the animals knew what was going on. Everything about Christmas doesn't give the impression that it was something smaller coming into something bigger. What does it give the impression of? Something bigger coming into something smaller. You could think of any of those things, the angels, or you could think of the stars, but just think about the animals for a moment. Can you ever imagine the animals knowing anybody else? There was no reason why they should know a film star from Hollywood or a football player from Manchester United, but they did recognize their maker when he lay in Bethlehem's manger. Something bigger had come into something smaller. Remember how Lucy put it in the last battle? Once in our world, a stable had something inside it that was bigger than our whole world. Lo, within a manger lies he who built the starry skies. Anyone whose childhood has known a real Christmas will always have those two things in their mind. Little tiny baby, on the one hand, and then also unknown strength that sustains the galaxies together in one. That little baby in the manger was bigger and older and greater than all the world, all the stars. He'd always lived as the Son of God. He made the universe. He held it all together, even like all the tiny little pieces, even the little atoms. He held it all together at every moment. And he came down and became your brother and my brother. No wonder Christmas turned the world upside down when the one who was up high was born down below and turned everything inside out. Of all the things that he had ever done, this was the greatest. You know, when I was growing up, I used to go to a small church, and once the minister of the church told a story of how a very great and wise man had come to our town. It didn't happen very often, but on this occasion, a man did come like that. And he went with the minister of the church to a residential home. And in the residential home, while they were singing the hymns, this great man who could speak six or seven languages bent down beside an elderly lady and held the book for her so that she could sing from it. When the minister of the church told us that story, he just burst into tears. He couldn't even tell that story without bursting into tears. It so moved him to think that a great and wise man like that would have just bent down to help somebody in need. Can we see that at Christmas time, someone who was far, far higher came down far, far lower, much, much lower, to help you and to help me? Everything did change. Everything changed. Those that were in power, tyrants and dictators, feared this little baby, feared what he would go on to do and how he would change everything forever. Let's look at our final picture. I don't know if I could carry it. Does anybody else think you could carry that? Look how heavy it is. It seems amazing to think that you would be able to carry that burden, carry that weight. At Christmas time, Jesus came down to take the weight of the world off our shoulders onto his own. Took the weight of the world off my shoulders onto his own shoulders forever. The government will be upon his shoulders. Have you ever seen a little baby? They're very small. Can you imagine those tiny little shoulders? Thinking, could those little shoulders carry the weight of all the world? All the pressures, all the expectations, all the burdens, not just of one person, but of all the governments of all the countries of the world. Could they? They could. Those little tiny shoulders could carry it all. We're able to carry it all. Everything that happened from that point onwards was just as astonishing and amazing as his birth. He grew up and became a man, the greatest man who has ever lived. He went to the cross of Calvary. He walked out of his own grave. He chose a little small group of nobodies and said, "You'll believe my gospel, you will go out and tell others, and you will convert the whole world." And they did. His empire and his kingdom spread all across the world. Very soon, great kings would fall down before him. Whole nations would become followers of Jesus. And his followers would build cathedrals, would write glorious music, would sculpt and paint great works of art, would establish lazarettos or hospitals as they became known, universities, orphanages and schools, as nations, with the weight of the world being taken off their shoulders, placed under his, found new life, new joy, new peace that would never end. This morning, just as we draw to a close, you might think, oh, you know, the world around us looks like it's all in chaos. It looks like it's all sort of falling apart. Is the government always really going to be on his shoulders? It is. He isn't finished yet. He's not finished. He will reign until he does finally set everything right and usher in his new creation. This morning, he invites each one of us, from the very oldest to the very youngest, to cast all our cares and our burdens upon him. I don't know if anybody's read that old story by the French writer Victor Hugo. And there's the little girl called Cosette. And she was sent out one night. She's staying with people that were very unkind to her. And they sent her out one night to carry this heavy bucket of water. And she couldn't carry it until along behind her came the hero of the story, Jean Valjean. And he came along behind her and lifted up the bucket for her so that she was able to walk back to the house again in safety. This morning, that little baby, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, will, if we'll let him, come alongside us, lift whatever burdens we're carrying, lift us as well, and carry us this day and always. Let me just lead us in a final prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, our great God and Master, we thank you for your overwhelming love for each one of us, your obedience to your Father coming down into this world full of sin and taking away our sins by all that you have already done for us, lifting us up, taking away our burdens and setting us free to live for you, to change the world in your name. We pray that each one of us this morning would know you drawing alongside us in a deep and wonderful and precious way this Christmas time, that we might go forward each day rejoicing, longing to change the world for you. And we ask it in your wonderful name. Amen. Amen.